Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
All right, beautiful. I love it. Fits right in what we're talking about. You know, the thing about Jesus is we've heard about him for 2,000 years. We've heard the phrase the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God over and over, etc. So it can become a little stale. And it's good to get back to the beginner's mind about this, to how it must have felt to first hear him speaking, because what he was talking about was so radically freeing, radically transformative. The religiosity can get in the way sometimes. And part of the reason we're in unity is get beyond religiosity, right? And back to the original spirituality of things. And that then it becomes very powerful. Now, Jesus always taught, usually in parables, because he knew you can't tell anybody anything. Have you tried? Try to tell somebody the way it is. It doesn't necessarily work, does it? The people will push back. They're not going to accept it. And usually, where does it go anyway when you tell somebody where they are or what they should believe? It ends up in our ego. You know, we get defensive about it. Or it ends up in our thinking about things too much. Jesus didn't want us to think too much. He wanted us to go directly to, guess where? The heart, right? He wanted us to understand things from that level. So Jesus very rarely said, this is the way it is. When Pilate asked him, what is truth? What was the response? Silence. Silence. Because you can't explain it in intellectual ways. You have to explain it in deeper ways. And parables are the way that Jesus chose. Parables are short symbolic statements of truth, right? And they're universal because wherever you are in consciousness, you will take that parable and understand it from that level. As you deepen, you'll get a new understanding of it. That's the beauty of it. It's universal. It's using simile and metaphor to get to an understanding of something that's beyond just the processing of our discursive minds. However fine they are, Jesus wants to take us a little deeper. I love Jesus again because he was full on with fun, wasn't he? They make him out to be kind of religious and holy and milk toast and all this. But really, Jesus was a bundle of fun. The things he said, the parables he used were just way out there. They were wacky. They were crazy. And I don't even think he laughed a lot. I love the idea that he was full on. He cried, but he also laughed. He was a full human being. And charisma was pouring off him. And when he spoke, you listened, right? Because you weren't listening with your head so much as you were listening with your heart. Can you get some water? I could use a little water. So I got nine parables. Seven are from the jam-packed chapter 13 of Matthew. There's bunches of parables in there. And then two are from the gospel of Thomas, which never made it into the Bible, right? And they found it, 70 or 80 years, part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. What's that? 1945. How long ago is that? Even older than I am. My God, that's a long time. About 70 years. Thank you. All right, that's good. So let's jump in. Like I said, I got nine, so we got a lot to get through here. I'm going to start off with the ones we may be familiar with and then move into the really strange ones, okay? So let's start off with the ones that we know of. This is verse 44, and Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure which a man found buried in a field. He buried it again and in joy went and sold everything he had and bought the field. Now, back in those days, they didn't have banks, so it was common practice to bury treasure in a field somewhere, right? So that's where you put it. So it's not like weird. Well, that's weird. Why would there be treasure in a field? And pirates did it, didn't they? They're always burying treasure. And they had maps that I used to love when I was a kid. X marks the spot, right? So this is treasure. So please help me here. What's the quality of the kingdom of heaven then if it's treasure? If it's likened to treasure? Precious? freedom, okay? Represents freedom. It's precious. It's, okay, all right. Treasure. Something to be desired. Something that's of great value for us in our lives, right? It's buried. What's the symbolism there? However wonderful it is, sometimes we're not even acknowledging it. You can go through our whole lives and don't acknowledge the spiritual dimension to our lives, right? And then we'll wake up one day dead and we realize, wait a minute, there was a whole lot more going on. And St. Peter says, why did you waste so much time on stupidities when you could have been going deep? I don't know. It's what I did that lifetime. But we are invited, aren't we, by Jesus not to do that, you know? I think if you're spiritual, you're in the death business. I know that sounds depressing, but you're in the death business because you have to come to terms with what death is, right? Because if you don't, if you push it off, oh, that's morbid, I don't want to deal with that, then when it finally comes to us, because guess what, we are all going to die, then it can catch us unawares. But if we come to terms with it and realize that this body may be subject to death, but the reality of us isn't. The kingdom of heaven is that reality, right? And so we, in order to know that you are going to die means you can live life more fully, right? So it's the opposite of being morbid. It's saying, I know it's precious. I want to find out what its true purpose is. I want to discover something that isn't subject to death. And it's that spirit within us. It was never born. It can never die. But sometimes it's so buried, we don't even remember it. We're so busy and filled with other stuff. So Jesus is inviting us to go and sell everything. He sold everything he had and bought the field. So in other words, instead of putting it like low man on the totem pole, what's he inviting us to say about spirit and the kingdom of heaven? Own it. Own it. Yeah, own it. This is yours. I've given it to you. I don't want you to have it buried anymore. I want you to own the field. Well, what's the field? Where is the field? Yeah, this is the field, isn't it? It's the field of our consciousness, and we're finding the hidden, buried treasure within our own being. Unfortunately, Hollywood is always telling us the field is somewhere out there, you know? Like the Holy Grail, the Shangri-La, and all that. And it's not, is it? It's always within us. Unfortunately, old-timey religion is telling us it's somewhere out there, next lifetime or whatever. We're not dealing with that. We want to have it here and now. Claim it here and now. It's that treasure. Number two, he says, another one. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A merchant looking out for fine pearls found one of very special value. So he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Similar, isn't it? The pearl. What does the pearl represent then? Beautiful pearl. Value, purity, wisdom, grace. Perfection, right? All these qualities that are within us. I found it. Now what I'm going to do with it, I'm going to own it. I'm going to own that beauty. I'm going to put it into practice in my life, right? And I'm going to do everything I can. In other words, I'm not giving up on everything. I'm still living my life, but I'm not putting value in the things that come and go and change. My value is in the changeless, right? My value is in the pearl of beauty and joy that's my heart's desire, that's deep within my being. Takes commitment, therefore, doesn't it, to do that? I don't want you to be so quiet, okay? I want you all to interact here. Come on. This is all about interacting, and we're having fun with this, you know. Don't be scared of these things. Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course. You have that pearl of great price right at the heart of you. It's beautiful, and we all do. Our job is to behold that in each other, isn't it? And saying, wow, you're pretty cool. Look at you. Instead of, How different it would be if we went around beholding the Christ in people, right? Even those speeding people, even those ugly people, even those conservative people, or whatever it is, the opposite of what we are, you know? We have to embrace all because we are all one. The pearl is within every single being. And he told them another parable, just three. He says, and this is familiar to us, I think, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. There's the field again. Mustard is smaller than any other seed, but when it is grown, it is taller than other plants. It becomes a tree big enough for the birds to come and roost among its branches. So the aspect of the kingdom of heaven here is that it is like the treasure hidden. It's kind of insignificant, yeah? It seems like it's not really important. And yet, if you plant it, if you let your love grow, then it turns into this magnificent plant, and even birds can come and nest in its branches. So what's the message for you there?
Nurture it.
Nurture it, right? Even though it seems insignificant sometimes, sometimes the most seemingly insignificant things are the ones that rock our world, that change our lives, yeah? If it's small, sometimes you can overlook it. Not paying attention to the seed that's there within every situation. I think sometimes when we're forced into extremes, into breaking beyond complacency, that's when we notice the little seed of possibility, right? It's not always when things are wonderfully, you know, happy in our lives. It's those moments where we're forced through a disease, through a loss, through a breakdown, through some kind of sadness, that there's a great opening. Anybody see that Will Smith thing on YouTube this week? He was saying, he was talking about free falling, you know? And he's talking about free falling. You know you're going to get together with your buddies and they all go free falling the next day. So you're sitting around the day before, say, hey, let's go and jump out of a plane. And it sounds really good until you get home and then you start worrying about it. And all, you can't sleep because you're going through what it means to jump out of that plane. And even though you're miles away from the airfield at that time, you're in your nice cozy bed, your mind is there, right? And you're panicking. And then he says, then they do the countdown. And supposedly they push you out, they say 3, 2, 1, they push you out at 2 because at 1 you grab on with a death grip and you can't be pushed out. So they push you out at 2 and then you, as you dive, you realize the terror that you were feeling and the terror you had the night before is gone and it is just exuberance and joy. And he said life is like this, you know, that the best parts of life are the moment beyond terror, right? But you have to go through the terror to get there. And that's sometimes what wakes us up, right? We have to push ourselves beyond. The seed will only germinate when we allow it to go into the unknown, when we allow ourselves to go into unknown territory here. So there's a risk involved, right? A little risk in living the Christ-based life. All right, get a hold of this one. This is 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until it was leavened. Now, yeast was evil to the ancient Jews. So when they heard yeast as the kingdom of heaven, they're going to go, whoa, Jesus, what are you talking about, right? Yeast was weird because it did strange things to bread, you know? And so when they had the Passover feast, what did they use? Unleavened bread, because that was safe, right? That was holy bread. But leavened bread was something a little bit weird because it had some kind of devil in it that changed the bread, made it rise up. Ooh, weird. So the fact that Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this weird stuff, it's radical, isn't it? It's waking us up. It's going to wake the Jews up. What's he talking about here? But again, how much yeast do you use to leaven bread? Teeny, teeny, tiny bit, right? But it has an enormous transformative power. So does the kingdom. You begin to focus on it. It begins to transform your life, yeah? And it comes out of the blue sometimes, you know? Those seeds are floating around, aren't they? And get in and leaven the bread, right? So it can happen anywhere, anytime, if you choose to allow it. That's 4. 5. Have you understood all this? He asked them, and they replied, yes, all right, yes. Some replied, no, I haven't got a clue what's going on today. But they replied, yes. So he said to them, listen to this, it's very fascinating. He said, when therefore a teacher of the law has become a learner in the kingdom of heaven, he is like a householder who can produce from his store things new and old. Wow. Listen to it. Very profound. When therefore a teacher of the law, in other words, a player of who plays by the rules, right? Got it all worked out. The traditionalist, the one that thought we had it all together. Ever been there? I've got the t-shirt. I've been there. I know everything there is to know about this particular thing. When the teacher of the law has become a learner in the kingdom of heaven, then real power is given to him. In other words, what's Jesus saying then? Don't have it all worked out, right? Open to the mystery again. Open. Be teachable. It's beginner's mind. Shunryu Suzuki Roshi was a great Zen master. He wrote the great book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. He said in the expert's mind, there are a few options. In the beginner's mind, there are an infinity of options, right? Because when your mind's made up and you think you know everything, then there's very little give there. But when you become a beginner again, and Jesus is not saying you give up the old, because then he goes on to say, he is like a householder who can produce from his store of things new and old. I've noticed that when I go back to my childhood spirituality or religion, I understand it better now because I apply it through the view of unity, through my understanding of mystical awareness, right? So I could see what they were saying, whereas before I took it literally because they presented it literally. But now I see, oh, there's a deeper meaning to that. In other words, I don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. It can be a deeper understanding, right? So there's nothing wrong with being mature and knowing a few things, right? Here's a question. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? Yes, you can. In unity, we can, right? We are old dogs learning new tricks. Because it's never over until it's over. There's always that renewal of understanding that keeps us young, right? That's my secret for staying young. You know, be endlessly silly. No, but you see what I'm saying? Being endlessly open to joy and wonder. You look at a child, they're having fun all the time, aren't they? Then they cry for a bit, and then that's over, and then they're back to having fun. Because they are connected to that exuberance of beginnings, new beginnings. Let's do something different. Let's rush and do this. That awareness keeps us fresh and alive. And I love what Jesus says there. See, when he becomes a learner again, right? Staying teachable. Beautiful. I don't want to ever say, I know all about that. Don't confuse me. I got it all worked out. That would be a sad day, wouldn't it? For all of us. 6:47. Again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea where it caught fish of every kind. When it was full, it was hauled ashore. Okay? Then the men sat down and collected the good fish into baskets and threw the worthless away. That is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will go out, and they will separate the wicked from the good and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Now, this is one that the fundamentalists really love, because it sounds like we're going to be okay, but you are going to hell where there's much weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? And so we say, oh, I love that parable because it really puts them down. I love that. But really, that's not what Jesus came to teach. Jesus never put anybody down. So he's talking not about people outside ourselves. He's talking about aspects of ourselves, right? Okay. That's another sermon. Okay, I'm on a roll with this one. I can go there too, but it's going to move in a different direction. Yeah. Should we stop and address that? I can, but it's, you know, you're talking about Matthew 23, you know, woe to you scribes and hypocrites and all that. And I promised to do a sermon on that to address that, but I don't want to go there now because I'm in the role with this one, okay? And this one what? Right, we're only at 6, okay? All right, we'll come back. A lot of things in the gospel, let me just say this, a lot of things in the gospels that are in there are the result of editing by the people who wrote that particular gospel. So you got to be really careful about what is truly Jesus and what is the people at the time putting words into his mouth, right? And I love the parables because they couldn't tinker with the parables because they couldn't really understand them, and so they can't mess with them. Whereas there's some stuff where he seems to be judgmental and wagging fingers. To me, that's where it was put in by the editors, maybe the gospel writers, certainly by the early church fathers. They turned Jesus into some kind of horror show, right, that he wasn't, because Jesus was a really cool person. So, but we'll talk more about that later, but let's get back to the net. So if all the things that are happening, the good and the bad fish, are you, what's it saying? Right, and it's not a question of jettison them early. You know, you have to see them for what they are before you get rid of them. Some of us, we become spiritual, and then we say, I'll never get angry again. And then what happens? Spirit comes along and makes you really, really angry, doesn't it? Something will happen that will tick you off so bad that you'll explode, and then the Spirit will say, well, how wise are you now? Happens every time. And it's very similar to the next parable. Let's move straight to that one because it really corroborates the one about the net. And he says, here's another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed his field with good seed. And while everybody was asleep, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and made off. When the wheat sprouted and began to fill out, the weeds could be seen among it. The farmer's men went to their master and said, Sir, was it not good seed that you sowed in your field? So where has the weed come from? This is an enemy's doing, he replied. Well then, they said, shall we go and gather the weeds? No, he answered. In gathering it, you might well pull up the wheat as well at the same time. Let them both grow together till harvest, and at harvest time I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles for burning, then collect the wheat into my barn. So, who's the enemy? We are our own enemy, right? We planted weeds. Don't blame it on somebody else, right? Every negative thought, every resentment, every hurt goes in there, you know? But Jesus is being very kind. He's saying, don't just rip them all out. They came as a learning experience, right? Everything's for good. You lost it? Great. That's an opportunity to find it. If you didn't lose it, you couldn't find it. So therefore, everything, it makes you a messy, juicy person. And that's what we want to be. We don't want to be dry and brittle. We want to be messy and juicy. Sometimes that takes all kinds of stupidity, right? So it's when it matures, though, when you truly understand why is that in my life, then you can remove the weeds and retain only the good. But Jesus is saying, be easy on yourself here. You know, some of us want to pull out all our negatives and just be perfect, don't we, before it's time. But you can't do that. Just make a fool of yourself. All right, we're at the last two. What time is it? Oh, my God. All right. It says no time to spare, is there? We could go on till like 6 tonight. It'll be fine. There'd be nobody in here, but I could still be speaking. It's ice cream. Oh, yeah. There's ice cream in the house. Yeah. All right. Get a load of these two parables. This will rock your world. If you thought the yeast being evil was weird, listen to this one. This is, again, from 98. Jesus said the kingdom of the Father is like a man who intended to kill a powerful man. Wow. So the kingdom of heaven is like a murderer. What? He drew out his sword, right, in his own house and stabbed it into the wall to test his strength. Then he killed the powerful man. Now, we are not being invited to go kill people. Surely, that is not what it's about. But Jesus, again, is trying to shake us out of our complacency, isn't he, and present a radical parable that's going to get our attention. So what the heck's it mean then? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who intended to kill a powerful man. If you have a difficult task to do, is the way I look at this, What do you do first before you deal with the difficult tasks? You study. You see if you've got the strength, the ability, the guts to carry through on this, right? And when you've done that in the secrecy of your own home, then you go out into the world and you do the work that is yours to do. And hopefully it's not killing anybody. But there's tasks to be done that are quite difficult, right? And sometimes you have to test your heart to see if you're ready for that. So Jesus is giving very wise counsel. The kingdom of heaven is about discerning and about your ability to practice what you preach. Are you willing to do this? But my God, it's radical, isn't it? Yeah. You bet. Right? But then he also said, those who live by the sword die by the sword. So Jesus said a lot of stuff, you know.
It was all good.
A parable is for you to understand, not for somebody to tell you what it means, right? So we have to discern it for ourselves and what's wise. If we start to literalize it and say Jesus came to be an annoying menace to society, then we've missed really what this is about. Because Jesus is not pointed to himself. Where's he pointing? Always to us. He's pointing, I want you to look within. That's the message of Jesus. Here's a really weird one, and it's never been successfully interpreted, so you could be the one. Jesus said, the kingdom of the Father is like a woman who was carrying a jar full of grain. As she walked along, a handle of her jar broke off and grain trickled out. But she didn't notice. When she arrived home in her house, she put the jar down and found it empty. So the kingdom of heaven is like an empty jar. Interpretation? Interesting one, isn't it? Kingdom of heaven is like a woman carrying a jar full of grain, and she didn't know it was broken. And it was spilling out along the road. When she got home, it was empty. Well, thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. The kingdom of heaven is emptiness. Yes! The kingdom of heaven is emptiness, right? You cannot contain the good in a container, can you? That's one interpretation that I like. It's the idea that you thought that that was your salvation, but it's seeping out. The truth is beyond that. The truth is in the emptiness that is full of possibility. Unless you can empty yourself, unless you can get let go, you cannot receive, can you? Or, I knew there'd be an or. Go for it. Excellent. That's another one, isn't it? See, we think we're on a journey, but something else is going on, right? Maybe the giving of the seed is we're blessing others unbeknown. Sometimes the best things in our lives we don't know about. You didn't realize how much of a blessing you were to somebody, and yet you were. So you're giving unawares. That's another interpretation. Unconditionally, yeah? You better pay attention to what's leaking out behind you. You're leaking! Told you! But I can't tell anybody anything. So you can't tell anybody they're leaking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's herding cats. Nobody can tell anybody anything. We can show, right? But we can't tell. And there's a difference there, because one is expansive. One is showing something from authenticity. The other is telling somebody from need, because I want to be right. And that's totally different. Jesus understood the difference between those two. Let's wrap it all together here. We want to get to that ice cream. What have we learned today? What's the nature of the kingdom? What are some of the qualities that Jesus threw out there in those parables? It's very valuable, but sometimes it's hidden. It's small. We can overlook it, right? We have to pay attention to it. It's more than we can conceive of, right? It's not a nice little container. It contains even the bad stuff. That's another thing. Kingdom of heaven involves everything, not just all the nice things. It's an inside job. That's right. There we go. There we go. It has miracle working yeast within it, right? We all do. You either, all right, that's a positive note to end on. You can either get into it or you're going to get burned. But you know, what can be, let's seriously though, what can be burned, folks, in you? Only the unreal. Remember that. The reality of you cannot be harmed. All through the Bible it says God is a consuming fire, right? But it consumes the dross. It consumes the unreal. It consumes all the things that you thought you were. But the reality of you is free. It can never be burned. It's pure spirit. This is the good news. So don't fear the burning, you know, because the burning is only going to burn that which is not you anyway, right? And will leave you pure. So the scare tactics of, oh, you're going to, this is tough, and oh, I'm going to be burned, all that. Don't buy into it. It's difficult when you're going through the fire sometimes. Just as it is when you're jumping out of that airplane. But the joy is worth it, right? Burning renews the forest of your life. Finally, 1:13. It's in Matthew, it's in Luke, and it's in the Gospel of Thomas. He says, they asked him, when is the kingdom coming? They're always asking this. You know, when's it coming? And he said, listen. Well, then he goes on. I was channeling the energy there for a minute. I could feel his frustration for a minute. He says, it's not coming in an easily observable manner. People will not be saying, look, it's over there, or look, it's over here. Rather, the kingdom of the Father is already spread out over the earth, and people aren't aware of it. So it's already available to us in beauty and glory and power and strength everywhere we are, right? That's the good news. Having known that, though, it's no good at all unless we say, wow, I'm going to own it, I'm going to claim it, I'm going to live from it this week, right? It's something for me to put into practice to let that love grow in my life this week. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we take a little time now to meditate, let's do an arrow prayer. We spent a lot of time in that sermon, so we'll just do a short meditation direct to the point, to that idea that, wow, I have that kingdom of heaven within me. What am I to do with this vast treasure, this beautiful pearl, this seed of possibility? This grain to be planted in the field of my life. This seemingly insignificant thing that can transform everything. How do I nurture it, support it with my attention, my focus, the value that I give to it, so that I can have that freedom and that peace that are hallmarks of the kingdom of heaven. As we go into the silence now for a moment, ask yourself, how can I be a liver and doer of this truth? In my home, with my family and friends, at work, on the street, how can I notice how that kingdom is spread out over and in everything in the silence? so we give thanks that these parables still have the power to upset apple carts, create edgy conversations, call us to question, so that teaching is still very much alive, forces us to look more deeply at who we are and what's possible for us. For this journey of unfoldment, and for this precious gift of life, of discerning the truth, of claiming and owning that beautiful kingdom of heaven, we are grateful. And we say, thank you, God. So it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.